Hi everyone, welcome to People I Almost Know. I'm Michelle and my guest today is Jackie Moran. I almost know Jackie since the moment I was born because she's my mom. I had a rare opportunity to spend an afternoon with my mom when she was in town for the week to babysit my niece Amanda. And when I went with her to pick up Amanda from school, I asked her if she'd talk to me about her childhood. So as she drove, we talked about what it was like as she was growing up and some of the ways that things are different now. There are some stories from her childhood and one or two from mine, and we venture a bit into more personal territory as well. I love my mom, and I'm so glad she was willing to chat with me for the podcast, and I hope you enjoy it. Okay, hi, Mommy.
Hi, Michelle.
Do you want to tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'm Michelle's mom, Becca's mom. Grandmother to Logan, Peyton, Amanda, and Allison. I guess I should say, first of all, I'm married to your dad, Tom, for almost 46 years, and just recently retired from the government, where I worked for about 26 years, and living the enjoyable life of retirement.
Yeah, I'm jealous of your enjoyable retirement life.
I tell you, it sure is different than what I expected.
What did you expect?
Well, I've worked for so long. I mean, I worked for the government for almost 26 years. Before that, I worked, you know, private industry for probably another 10 or 12 years, maybe even more than that. Well, actually, probably was more than that. So I've worked pretty much my whole life, I guess you could say, and I really just didn't expect to enjoy so much the freedom of not having any place to go or anything to do that had to be done right now. And I really was worried about being bored and not having anything to do and sitting around. And it hadn't been like that at all. I just don't know where the days go now. So it was a very pleasant feeling to have retired and not regret it.
Well, that is good. I tell you what, maybe it's because I have to work the rest of the time, but on my days off, I can have to spend a whole day doing nothing.
Yeah. Well, I can't say I spend the whole day doing nothing.
Well, that's what I mean. You're like, where did the day go? And I'm like, yeah. Why isn't there more day in my day off?
Yeah. It's like I have stuff planned I want to do, and sometimes I do it, sometimes I don't, you know, and I don't care.
Okay, so what I wanted to ask you about is what it was like when you were a little girl.
Oh, so different than it is now.
Like what? What's the first thing that popped into your head?
Well, the first thing that pops into my head was we were freed outside from when we weren't in school, from morning till lunchtime, and then from lunchtime till dark. We had to be home when the street lights came on. We had to be home in the house before the street lights came on. And now you can't let children do that. You just really cannot. You have to be so careful with your kids. But we wandered all over our neighborhood. As long as we stayed within the streets where we were supposed to, you know, we couldn't cross certain streets, but others, we lived right down from where the National Park Service is, around where Dead Man's Curve is.
Yeah. And not that anybody else will know this, but I know what you're talking about.
Won't. But we could go that way, but we couldn't go the other way towards downtown Fredericksburg and cross the streets. But we would go over and play in the cemetery and play
on... Really?
Yeah, and back behind the cemetery wall, there was a big dip down to Hazel Run. And we could go down there and play, and there was a little cave down there. I mean, it's not... It's probably just a hole in the bank. We just called it a cave. But we could play there, and we played hide and seek. And it was just... All the neighborhood kids were just free to do that. And, you know, we played hide and seek and kick the can. And caught lightning bugs. You know, when we got home and it was dark, we could go in the backyard and catch lightning bugs. And I hesitate to say this, but we pinched the little light off and put them on telephone poles to spell our names. And I mean, we
sick.
Were just... Yeah, that is sick, but we didn't know it then. But we just had a lot of freedom. We just had a lot of freedom.
But you guys didn't live in the city when you were older.
No. I think I was 10 years old when we moved out to the county, and oh my word, that was even more freedom.
Really?
Yes, because there was a farm across the road, and kids up and down the road that we knew, and we could go over when they plowed the fields. We could go over and play baseball and throw dirt clods at each other. And there were two ponds, and we could go over and swim in the pond. And,
really?
And nobody cared. I mean, we all knew how to swim, and nobody thought about what if somebody drowns or anything like that. And it was just, we had, oh my goodness, when we played outside when we were little, we would have roads that we drove the little matchbook type cars on. They probably weren't matchbooks then, but we'd have whole little cities and all of this stuff in the dirt. And it was just really a free, wonderful childhood. We didn't know we were poor. Our neighbors didn't know they were poor. And it was just really a lot of fun.
How poor were you, for real, though?
We weren't destitute, but, and part of the problem was, you know, that my dad was an alcoholic, and both my parents worked, and there were times that our electricity was cut off, and things like that. I mean, it wasn't an every month occurrence, but there were times that that happened. And I mean, there were times when for supper, well, it was a routine thing. I mean, we didn't eat meat every day.
Really?
No. We would have meat on every Sunday, either ham or fried chicken. Or I mean, it wasn't like we starved, but Mama would fix a great big pot of white beans with the end of the ham, or a big pot of string beans, and during the week, that's what we ate. Or a big pot of soup, or we got one pair of shoes when we started school, and a pair of tennis shoes in the summer, and we had a pair of Sunday shoes, and in the fall, if our feet hadn't outgrown them, the Sunday shoes became the school shoes. And, you know, you didn't buy every new fad that came along. We got Christmas presents, but mostly our Christmas presents, we got a few toys, but mostly they were clothes and socks and underwear and things like that. And it was just different than it is now. I mean, it was... You saw something on TV, a commercial on a cartoon on TV, you couldn't say, that's what I want, and your parents would go out and buy it. And we were allowed in the afternoon to watch about an hour of television. We could watch the Mickey Mouse Club or something like that, and then we were expected to go outside and play after we did our homework.
So and get out the house, kids.
Exactly. And if you didn't have a toy, you made one up. I can remember your daddy telling about his favorite toy was a stick that he called a gun. But it was the ways that we were poor didn't matter because everybody else was in the same boat.
Everybody. So it wasn't like... You didn't know you were poor because everybody else was the same as you. Yeah,
a lot of it was. And we had clothes to wear. They may not have been the latest style, but we had clothes. And my mother made a lot of my clothes.
Really?
She made a lot of my clothes. And especially after I got older and we lived out in the county, because it was like, I don't know, she and Daddy worked shift work. Split shifts a lot of times, but she, and even when I was younger, she made a lot of my clothes.
So, I'm sorry to interrupt, but at that time, was it common for, how common was it for the, for both parents to work?
Actually, a lot of, very few of my classmates at that time had a parent that stayed at home. I know that there were a lot of them that did, but most of the people that we knew, both parents tended to work.
Was that, so do you think that was a, you know, a socioeconomic division between the stay-at-home moms and the parents to both
moms? Yes, yes.
So the people you knew were also po-folk, and so their mamas worked.
Yeah, and not all of them were po-folk. I mean, I've had several friends that were in the socioeconomic group that we were in, and their mother didn't work.
Oh, okay.
But I also had friends that were in what we would have considered a better class of people, you know, a higher economic standard than ours, where both parents did work. So it wasn't always a necessity. Sometimes it was just the way that it worked out. The parents that both worked also fell in two groups. They were either more highly educated or on the same educational level of our parents.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, it was a very, very, very mixed thing.
Okay, so didn't you do a lot of chores and stuff at home?
Yes.
Because like, it seems to me like you used to talk about the expectations were different too in terms of what you did in the house.
Yes, we didn't get an allowance. We never got an allowance.
I never got an allowance.
No, but you didn't have set chores you should have been doing.
Okay.
But we had...
Proceed.
We had... my mother would put whatever money that we'd agreed on after we got in high school. It was $5 a week. And we split the chores. And other than scrubbing the kitchen floor, I never had to scrub the kitchen floor because I wasn't strong enough to wring the mop out. And I played that forever. But one week, I had to clean the bathroom and, you know, dust and do the living room.
That's not us.
No, thank
you. Somebody
goodness.
Getting pulled over, y'all.
No, oh, he's gone
he kept going. So sorry, you had to dust
I had to dust and clean the bathroom and run the vacuum in the living room in the hall and clean my room. And my brother had to take care of the kitchen. And the next week, I did the kitchen and he did the bathroom, ran the vacuum and dusted. And take care of his, well, we had to take care of our own room anyway. And when I got old enough to cook, I was responsible, especially when my mother was working the night shift or the afternoon shift. I was always responsible between the two of us, but mostly me, to get supper ready and pack the lunches.
I had an impression in my head that, and maybe this is a, you know, walk to school uphill both ways kind of thing. But I had the impression that, like, you know, like you had all this, that basically you were taking care of the house. Like it was all, this big routine of, you know, you had to come home, you had to do all these many things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like an every single day that you cleaned the bathroom.
No. It had to be done, you know, once a week. Yeah, it was done once a week. And, I mean, we could do it a little bit every day. Like I could do the bathroom on Saturday and dust and run the vacuum on Friday when I got home from school. And in the summertime, my daddy always had a nice big garden, which I was banned from because I didn't plant the string beans correctly.
I wouldn't mind being banned from the garden.
Well, it wasn't too bad till the tomatoes started coming in and I couldn't go get me tomatoes to eat.
Oh.
My brother cut the grass, and our big punishment in the summertime was pulling weeds in the garden. My daddy did not have a weed in his garden, I might say.
Really?
Nope, because one or the other of us was always go pull weeds. My daddy never spanked me, and he didn't spank me then. He switched me with a switch. He never switched me but one time, and that's when I talked back to him. I was trying to get out of washing the picture window in the living room, and the deal was I washed the windows on the inside, my brother washed them on the outside, and I hated that picture window. I hated it with a passion because it better not have a streak on it when Mama saw it and the sun showed through. And we did all the windows, and my brother was ready to do the picture window, and I wouldn't do it. Because I figured if I waited long enough, Daddy would make him do it too, and I wouldn't have to do it.
Well, are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious. And anyway, supper time came, and my Daddy and Mama were going up to a board of supervisors meeting. And I hadn't washed the window, and Mama told me it was my turn to wash the dishes. And I said, well, I can't do it. And my Daddy said, you're going to wash the dishes. And I said, well, I can't do it. I'm not going to do it because I've got to wash the picture window. Which the only thing worse than washing the picture window was washing the dishes. And my Daddy said, you're going to wash the window and you're going to wash the dishes. I said, no, I'm not. And he sent my brother down to the woods to cut a switch, and he said, you better cut a good one, because if you don't, I'm going to switch you too. And I was about 13 years old, and my brother went and got the switch, and he switched me, and he stayed home from the Board of Supervisors meeting they were going to, and I washed the window, and I washed the dishes, and he stood by the dish drainer, and every dish I washed those dishes 3 times. But I guarantee you, I never talked back to my Daddy again. I never told him, no, I'm not, or I don't want to. If he said do something, boy, I just did it.
And see, this is probably one of the problems with some parents today, is that they're not willing to skip the Board of Supervisors meeting or whatever it is that they want to do to stay home and correct the children.
Right. Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Of course,
I was one of those
kids.
Parents.
I'm not gonna talk, well. So that's one of the things I want to ask you. Is it true that Nanny broke a spoon on you?
Not on me, and she didn't break a spoon. Well, actually, I guess she did. She broke it on my brother. It wasn't on me.
So did she hit y'all with the wooden spoon? That's another thing you threatened me with when I was a kid is, well, my mama hit us with a wooden spoon.
Yes, she did. Not only a wooden spoon, a metal pancake spatula.
Really?
Our iron cord. We had an iron that the cord plugged in and out of.
Yeah.
And whatever she had in her hand, if you did something wrong, you were going to get hit with it.
Oh, so it wasn't so much the wooden spoon as whatever was handy.
Whatever was handy. That's exactly right.
What did the spoon just give out? Or did he have a hard hand or what?
No, the spoon had a crack in it, and I guess she didn't know it. It had split. And when she hit him with it, the thing broke. Of course, he played it up like he was some kind of mistreated child. He was so abused. Told everybody, embarrassed my mother to death.
Oh, that's hilarious. But y'all always had to go get each other switches.
No.
No?
No. We usually had to go.
I got that impression too.
We usually had to go get our own.
Oh.
But I never got switched. My daddy never switched. Now my mama would, but like I said, she just used what was handy.
So
my daddy never raised his voice to us.
Really?
Nope.
Now, did he always drink from as long as you can remember?
Not as bad as it was later, but for as long as I can remember, he had a drinking problem. He told me he started drinking when he was 13 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really a shame because he was a good person. He was a very good person. And it's hard for me to talk about it.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mommy. I didn't mean to do that.
No, it's okay. It's just that times, you know, he adopted us. I was about 4 years old when Mom and Daddy got married. And he wanted to adopt us right away, but my natural father, I don't want to say what he really was. But,
the sperm donor, the as sperm they say now?
Donor. He was the sperm donor. He left, my mother and him separated. Actually, she left him when I was 9 months old.
Oh.
And
so you never knew that man,
no,
really?
No, I saw him twice in my life and never spoke to him, and he never saw me. I mean, I saw him. He was pointed out to me that that's who he was, but I never spoke to him at all. Mm-hmm. Anyway, when I was about 10 or 11 years old, they finally found him to get him to sign the adoption agreement. And my dad, he never referred to us as his stepchildren or May's children, or we were always his children.
I was grown before I knew you were adopted.
Really?
I mean, well grown, yeah.
Really? Can you pause? What were we talking about?
Oh, I said I was grown before I knew that you were adopted.
Yeah, yeah. He was always my father. He was just always my father. He was never my stepfather. We were never stepchildren.
Ooh. And these traffics.
And he always treated us like we were his children.
So made you pull weeds.
Yeah.
Switched your butt when you needed it.
No hesitation. None whatsoever. But he did drink, and the older he got, the worse he drank. And towards the end, he pretty much drank all the time. And that was the only time that he and I ever fought or had hard words, was when over the drinking. And at the time, I mean, you're talking 30 years ago, you know, he died when he was 62.
Yeah, that's young.
Yeah.
How old are you now?
We'll be 65 next week.
So he was younger than you now.
Yes.
That's hard for me to believe because like, I never knew him sober.
No.
None of my memories I've ever known him sober.
No.
But I would have thought he was much older than that.
Yeah, because he had a hard life. He had a hard life coming up, and he had a, you know, it was, I tried to, after I got older and I realized it was nothing he really could control anymore,
uh-huh.
He was beyond that point of being able to control it.
Yeah.
That it is an addiction, just like overeating, just like smoking, just like drug abuse. It's a chemical imbalance in your body. And when you start drinking at 13, it's almost impossible to overcome.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And it was very hard to adjust to that. It was very hard to adjust to this man who was everything, to losing him, and to lose him to drink like that.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And when he died, I was so angry at him. Not because I didn't know that he couldn't help himself, but because of what he missed out with my kids. And he had so much goodness in him. And he loved you. He loved you. He loved Becca. And he loved Bodie's kids. He loved y'all. But he could not help himself. He was beyond the help then.
Yeah. No, I say that I didn't know him sober, but those aren't my overwhelming memories. I'm thinking about remembering, I don't know whether he was sober or not, but times,
yeah,
when we were there sitting outside under that big tree.
Uh-huh. Him going to put the cats down the well.
And he, you know, he would sit there and Nanny would be outside. We just sat outside and
yeah,
the kids would play.
Yeah.
And so I do have memories like that.
Yeah, we did a lot of that stuff, just sitting outside. And one of the favorite memories that I have is in the summertime when Mama had that wood cook stove outside. And he did a lot of good stuff for us. He set that wood cook stove up for her, and we'd have a big fish fry, and we'd have fried fish and cantaloupe and fried potatoes and cornbread in the oven and sliced tomatoes and, you know, fresh vegetables from the garden, and we would eat. We would go out there to eat. My cousins and their mom and dad next door would come and eat.
They lived next door?
Yeah. And the neighbors across the road would come and, you know, come. Their kids would come down and eat. And it was just really a good time.
Let me ask you this. What's going through my head now is how it almost sounds like your retirement life, because you've got all these neighbors that you talk to. They call you on the phone. I'm like, why are your neighbors calling you? Why are they asking you to come over and help? Like, I mean, because you lived here in Fredericksburg in the city, and you knew your neighbors, but you didn't spend time with them.
No.
Do you feel like retirement has almost kind of gone back a little bit?
Yeah, it has. It really is a neighborhood feeling. And Daddy said the other day that he had talked to the neighbors we have down at the river more in the 2 years we'd been down there than he did the whole 27 years we've lived in Fredericksburg.
Oh, I bet.
You know, because it's just a neighborhood feeling. And Daddy says, this ain't no community, it's a neighborhood.
Well, anything else about when you were a kid, or, you know, so basically what I have found out is that quite a few of the things that you told me weren't exactly accurate, things that you used against me as a child.
Like I never did that?
Like how I should be helping around the house because when you were a kid.
Yeah. And where are you going with this?
Oh, I'm just leaving it hanging in the air there.
Yeah. Well, maybe a little bit of exaggeration. Not outright lies, but a little bit of exaggeration.
Well, would you ever go back and do it over?
What are we waiting for here? Yes. To some extent, some of the stuff I would not. But, yeah.
You would go back and be a kid again?
I would go back and be a kid again. I would not want to be a young adult or a young teenager again. But I would go back and be a kid again, especially if I could pull up more of the memories of being a kid again. If I could just restore those memories and, you know, reinforce them maybe. Reinforce them and maybe appreciate it more.
Hmm.
You know, appreciate more the not having to come in the house, or, you know, just to be a kid.
Okay, I'm done. Thanks for talking to me.
You're welcome. I hope I helped you.
Well, no. No, I'm just kidding.
One thing I do remember, particularly after we moved out to the country, we had, looks like, periods of lots more heavy snow than we do now. And this is just how kids are. We were playing outside, and there was a big hill up the road from where we lived, and we'd sleigh ride down that hill. And it was cold, and I remember coming in that night and only had one boot on and didn't know it. And my mother sent my brother out with a flashlight to find my boot.
That's hilarious.
But he found it.
Hey, I got one question. When I was thinking a long time ago when you were talking about this, when we were kids, we kind of ran all over those apartments.
Yeah, we did.
And you've said before, I'm like, yeah, y'all didn't know where we were. You said, well, we had eyes all over there.
Yeah, everybody and their brother would call us.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What would they say?
Well, I mean, it was just like, I saw Michelle, she was down on the bank. Well, I saw Michelle, she was running behind the apartment buildings.
Here it is. I'm thinking that we're just running all over that place, and nobody knows. I have no idea people were watching.
Everybody watched out for y'all. The day that Rebecca skated into the side of the building.
Oh, do you remember that? Of course, I remember. Scary.
My
sister roller skated down a hill, down the sidewalk, down a hill, into the side of a brick wall. Yeah, face first.
And, I mean, probably before she hit the wall, I had a phone call. And it was like, I don't know, 10 or 15 people there by the time I got down
there.
You're
serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. And offering to take us to the hospital and, you know, bag of ice. Somebody had a bag of ice on her face.
Really?
And, oh, yeah. And I mean, I wasn't but, what, 4 or 5 doors up.
Yeah.
Mike and Judy Casarotti and the little guy that lived, that was really nice, that lived in the basement from them. And Penny Dickinson. And, yeah, they were all there. They were all there. And everybody looked out for y'all.
Well, that's kind of nice.
Yeah, it was. Hey, it was somewhat like our childhood was.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And it is really different today. When Rebecca, when I was over their house one time, and Rebecca let Amanda go up the road, and she was going with the neighbor and her kids, and I felt a pang. I'm like, she's going away. Even though she was with a grown adult.
Yeah.
And then when she came back all by herself, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I was like, you mean you came all back by yourself? And yet at Nanny's, I remember we didn't have, when we would stay there for the weekend and stuff, she didn't lock our doors.
No.
And I remember leaving in the middle of the night.
Couldn't tell you where the key was.
Well, yeah. I mean, I remember leaving in the middle of the night from next door neighbor's house down across the road and down the hill. And because I just couldn't sleep and I wanted to go home. And so I left and walked in the dark. And, oh, she kind of tore me up about, you know, because somebody could have snatched me.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, the doors were all unlocked.
You know what she used to tell us?
What?
Well, they let you loose in the morning.
So that's the difference between a parent and a grandparent. Parents like, yeah, y'all go ahead. Grandparents like, I can't believe you did that.
Yeah. When we were teenagers, my best girlfriend, Mary, and I dated your dad, and she dated your dad's cousin. And he had to be home early, not your dad, but his cousin.
Jim Kidd.
And we would come, they would bring us home, and we would stay at one another's house. And she had a car, and we'd give them time to get out of the neighborhood or back towards the courthouse, and we'd go out again. Now, we didn't do anything bad. We just rode around town. Sometimes we'd go get ice cream, and then we'd get scared. So she borrowed a hat that was her dad, so one of us could pretend to be the man, put the hat on when we were coming home. And we
after you ditched your boyfriend to go out again.
I remember one night we came home, and Mama never knew. She never knew. I mean, we just went out the window.
You went out the window?
Yeah, because she could hear the door shut.
No wonder she never knew. Yeah, okay.
And
I'm learning some new things here.
And anyway, one night we came home, and every light in the house was on, and we were scared to death because we thought she'd caught us. And we were scared to go in. We knew we couldn't just go in the window because she, you know, she obviously knew we were gone. And so we brazened it out and went in the front door. We could have gone in the window. She didn't even know we were gone. Daddy had gotten up in the night sick, real sick. And she was up in the night trying to help, you know, with him.
Yeah.
Because he was really sick. We came in the door, and first words out of her mouth, where the hell have you been?
She didn't know you weren't
there. Didn't know we weren't there. She thought we were in bed. It was, we could have kicked ourselves. Well, that was the end of going out after we came home. But yeah, the doors were never locked. Never locked.
All right. So why do you call Becca, but you don't call me?
What do you mean, call you?
Yeah, on the telephone.
I call you on the phone.
Oh, that was just a trick question.
Yeah.
That was a trick question to see what she would say.
Probably call you as much as I call her.
All right, that's the...
Why don't you call me? She calls me.
Well, that's different. I don't call anybody. Yeah. All right, Mommy. Thank you.
You're welcome. Sorry I dragged it on so long.
No, I wanted to know some stories.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, what about the cherry tree? Wasn't there a story about the cherry tree? Didn't you and your brother do something with a cherry tree that you weren't supposed to?
Oh, we weren't supposed to pick the cherries. They were at my aunt's house next door, and she had cherries, and we would climb up on the shed roof and pick the cherries before she knew it. She would can them for pies and stuff like that, and we'd go up there with our little pail and pick all the cherries we could pick and then go hide and eat them.
Did you get caught?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was another one-time deal.
Well, many times until you got caught.
Yeah, she could never understand what happened to those cherries because she...
The ones at the top were gone.
Yep. And she'd tie little tin, you know, used to get the little pot pies in the tins. She'd tie those little pot pie tins up in there to keep the birds away. She knew those birds weren't getting them because the pot pies were there.
Oh, hilarious.
Yeah, the birds were getting them, the next door birds.
Well, the thing that I'm glad about is that I never did anything bad when I was a kid.
Right. Yes. Yes, you never did. You were perfect.
Thank you.
We were talking the other day about when you were about, I guess, 2 or 3 years old, and you climbed up on the table, and I had been to the doctor and had gotten some medicine. Never thought you could get up on the table. Never dawned on me that you could climb up on the table. And you had opened that bottle of pills and were dipping them in the butter dish and eating them. We had to take you to the hospital. They had to give you Epicac. You were good, though.
I know. That's what I said.
The nurse said, you might have to hold her down because this Epicac doesn't taste good, and children just don't want to take it. They just spit it out. And Daddy looked at you and said, Michelle, you need to take this to make you better. And you opened your mouth and took it.
You sure did. Because I'm awesome.
You were awesome. You were awesome. Becca was awesome. Y'all were both awesome. Sometimes I wonder how y'all made it through childhood with me as a parent. Remember the time you tied Rebecca to the clothesline?
I think that was ingenious. The swing set. I don't remember the swing set, but...
Oh, yeah, you did.
You know, the clothesline thing was...
You said, she could run back and forth.
Well, sure. And if she hadn't got wrapped around it, you probably never would have known.
That's what happened on the swing set. She was on the teeter-totter, and you took the dog chain and hooked it to the teeter-totter, to the bar, not the teeter-totter, but the bar of the swing set. And she just went from the teeter-totter to the swings, back to the teeter-totter, and she wrapped it all around everything, started crying. Mm. You were over playing at the neighbors.
Well, I just think that's how smart I was.
Yes, yes, yes. Your organizational skills.
I couldn't come up with anything else. I had no answer. All right, Mommy. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
My thanks to my mom, especially since I asked her at the last minute, literally as we were walking out to the car that day. It was fun to be reminded about a little bit of my mom's childhood, or to have some of the stories I almost remember get fleshed out for me again. I don't often ask the people I love to tell me stories about themselves, and I should. I should do that more often. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Michelle, and this has been People I Almost Know. If there's something you'd like to talk about or someone you'd like me to talk to, you can drop me a line on the website or give me a shout on Twitter or on Facebook. And if you'd like to meet other people I almost know, subscribe on iTunes or on the Stitcher app, or visit peopleialmostknow.com. I think that we were in the line.
No, we've got to go over there.
We go up around this person.
I can't. There's a car there.
Oh.
I don't know why they would block that roadway like that.
I don't know.